I'm going to do the best I can with the with this, but the first part of this shiur is going to deal with just clarity in terms of what lush is and the sugyos of the Gemara. No, I said it's going to deal with it. It doesn't mean that I have it. Lush, it turns out, is quite complex. So, first of all, lush, lisha, same thing. Don't get hung up on it. Okay. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa gives you a very good basic working definition that I included here as your first source. Ain iser lisha min haTorah v'aflo midrabbanan elam kein yismalu shlosha tnoim ela. There is no iser of lisha, not biblically, not rabbinically, unless you satisfy the following three conditions, meaning all three. One, sheyarkiv shnei gufim nifradim ze im ze, that you are joining together two separate entities. That doesn't mean two types of entity, but two physically different things. Beis, shegufim ele yiyu dakim o smichim, that these entities should be fine or thick. The o, im gedolim hem mitivam, shiyu tchunim o ktsutzim, that if they are large, if they're naturally large, then they have to be ground up, they have to be chopped up. The in other words, if I have I don't know, two apples or something like that, whole apples, they're not going to qualify, and we have to talk about that more as this plays out. And then gimel sheketotza amen halisha yiyu agufim ha'elam uravim umechubarim zebaze levlila achas, that as a result of needing them, the entities are mixed and joined together in one blila. They make a single dough. So, two separate entities, whether they are thin or whether they are thick, but if they're naturally big, then they're going to have to be ground up. In other words, the real point is they shouldn't be large. And that as a result of this kneading, they will be joined together in a single dough. That point of being fine entities is stressed in the Mishnah Brura, which I brought you in Beis. He says, Ubiyerek hanikra salatin, right? Lettuce. Ein ledakte b'chol zeh. There's no concern for lush. Kevin she'ein chodchen osa dak, because you don't cut it into very small pieces. Avo ma shechodchen snon v'kishuin, but when they cut up radish, when they cut up gourds, shekorin ugarekis, dak, they cut up these vegetables very finely. V'shovchen chometz oshar davar lach l'sochan, and they pour vinegar or some other liquid into them. Uma arvin osin biyachad, and they mix them together. Tzrichin lizar shlola ariv bekaf bekoach o yinaneya bechliat smo. So you have to be careful not to mix it with strength, and we'll talk about that later on, I think next week, or to just shake the bowl as opposed to stirring it up. So the Mishnah Brura stresses that fine materials are a problem if they stick together. And this means even if they don't lose their separate identity to melt together. If they look like one unit, that's where you have a problem. Okay? Even if they don't lose their separate identity, but they stick together, you already have an issue.
That's have to be together on a molecular level.
Correct. But not even that, just on a visible level.
It doesn't have to be homogenous?
It does not need to be, well, for sure it doesn't have to be homogenous, but it's, what it means is that if I can see the lines between them, right, that's still a problem. Even though I can see that these were separate particles, they're sticking together now, I have an issue. According to Rabbi Ribiyat, that's what Lav Bar Gibul is going to be when we get to that. Yeah. Now, presumably, large pieces which melt together and lose their identity are also going to be a problem. But large thing, like we talked about the Devela question when you were doing Bona, if you have figs that are pressed together, but they don't lose their identity, that's one thing. But if they lose their identity, then you could have a lush argument there as well. But large things don't normally melt together and don't normally lose their identity. They may stick together. That may be tofer. You may run into a problem like that. But that's not going to be lush. Lush is fine materials that stick together, even if they retain their identity, or larger pieces that melt together and actually lose their identity. That's the idea. Yaron.
Yeah,
אם אין בלי לבסוף זה לא לש, נכון.
למה צריך לדון בכל מיני גופים קטנים גדולים? הגופים האלה אף לא יהיו בלילה. בלילה זה משהו שמחובר ונוזלי.
כן, אז מה? הם יכולים להיות גדולים.
אז הם לא יהיו בלילה.
למה?
כי בלילה זה משהו, זה נוזלי שכולו ביחד.
זה לא נוזלי. בלילה זה לא נוזלי. זאת אומרת, באנגלית, באנגלית יש הבדל בין batter ו-dough. Batter זה בלילה רכה. זה דבר שאפשר לשפוך.
נכון.
כמו שנדבר.
אז
שאלה
מאיפה לוקחת את המילה בלילה?
בלילה עבה זה dough, כמו שעושים בשביל לחם.
בצק, כן.
כן, בצק, נכון. So the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa stresses that you have to have different materials. He talks about it regarding banana, basing himself on the Chazon Ish in Gimel. He says, Nimtza Shemuter Lo, it should say La Adam, that was my typo in retyping this, Shemuter Lo La Adam Lema'ech Banana, Ad She Yishapech Lema'ein Blilas. He says, you'd be allowed to crush banana to the point where it becomes a sort of blila. For tochein reasons, you have to use the handle of the fork and not the teeth of the fork. That's a separate discussion. And the reason is because it is one species. So actually, I misspoke when I said in the beginning that if it's of one kind, but it's two separate physical entities, you have a problem. It's not true. That was my mistake. Sorry. It's an issue if they are of different materials. Okay.
So you couldn't, well, you wouldn't anyway, but for an example only, you couldn't add mayonnaise to that banana mix. That.
So we have to talk about mayonnaise. We have to have a conversation about mayonnaise, Jeffrey. We'll talk about mayonnaise.
Please don't put mayonnaise in your bananas.
Okay. Yeah, that's also true.
For example,
but you couldn't mix apples into your bananas. Correct?
He's a Canadian. Canadians do all sorts of weird things. Look at poutine.
You put applesauce into your bananas, that's the example.
Right. Right. That's correct. Okay. So joining two separate fine entities of different materials via added liquid or their own natural moisture. Natural moisture we haven't discussed yet, but it's true that it's going to be an issue. Two notes, though, regarding adding liquid, which will not create a lisha problem. One, if you're diluting your blila by adding the liquid, it's not a problem. So if you take a look at Source Dalet, the Bir Halacha, he's dealing with, as I added in brackets in the beginning, talking about mixing mustard, which had already been blended with liquid before Shabbos. So he wrote, "Lo de mistafina hava amina kipshuto." You know this. It's the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem. So he says, I think that the case that you're talking about there, where we're going to be lenient because it was already mixed before Shabbos, is talking about where it had actually been mixed with liquid before Shabbos. Also, when they talk about adding liquid to cress that has been ground up, it means where it was ground up and mixed with liquid before Shabbos. So when you add liquid to it on Shabbos, that's not an act of lisha. It's already been mixed together. You did your lisha. You are not improving the lisha when you add your liquid and stir it up. Just the opposite. With the liquid that you add and the stirring that you do, you actually make it more dilute. Sheheroi l'shsias, that now it's drinkable. You follow? Vein davar zeh mikri lisha, dot, dot, dot. So the Bir Halacha's point is, if you add liquid to a mixture and it dilutes the mixture, you don't have a problem.
Now you're uncombining them.
You are uncombining them. That's correct. That's the word. That's point number one. Point number two, where adding the liquid doesn't do any joining. Because the liquid doesn't spread within the mixture on its own. This is the mechalchel point. But only stirring does the joining. Then adding the liquid is nothing, but stirring might be an issue. And this is something which Rav Rimon talks about. The Orach HaShabbos talks about it as well. I brought you Rav Rimon in Source Hay. There's an article that I referenced here for you actually at the end of the source. Also from the Chicago Community Kollel, where they make the same point. Omnam kevan shahezberim halalo einam pshutim hareisha tov lachin b'shinui. Klomar, he's talking about making egg salad. Klomar lasim kodem es hashemen ve'achakach es habeitza. You put in the oil first, and then you put in the egg. We'll talk about shinuyim and all that eventually. But the key is the part that I underlined. Ve'im sam mayonnaise. Right? There's a machlokas as to how to write mayonnaise in Hebrew. One way, Rav Rimon's way, is this way, mem yud vav nun zayin. The other one is Shmir Shabbos, which has a yud tuf at the end. Mem yud vav nun yud tuf. Mayonit. So he says, if you put in mayonnaise, yachol osim
osim. Does anyone say that? Does anyone say mayonit?
No.
Okay. He says, yachol osim oto beseder haragil, kemen she'eno mechalkel. You're allowed to add it in the regular way because it is not mechalchel, and that was what we had talked about in Hachana, that it doesn't mix into, it doesn't trickle down among it, so adding it isn't a problem. It's only if you're going to start to stir it, now you're going to have an issue. So what we've said, and I sort of raced into this to get underway here, but taking a moment to breathe, is that if you join two separate fine entities made of different materials via added liquid or their own natural moisture, that's your problem of lush. Fine materials are a problem if they stick together, even if they don't lose their separate identity to melt, to actually melt together. As long as they look like a unit, that's fine. That's not fine. That's a problem. And large pieces, which melt together and lose their identity, are also a problem, but that doesn't normally happen. Turn to lose their identity, for you not to be able to tell them apart, that doesn't normally happen. And adding liquid, which is not lisha, you can add liquid without it being lisha in the following two cases, either where you are diluting, or where the liquid that you add doesn't do any joining because it doesn't spread within the mix. Okay. Now, the classic debate, which Adam referenced when he did his introduction to Malachos HaShabbos, the classic debate about the origin of Malachos applies to Lush as well, right? Is this from when they would mix together the Samamanim, the ingredients for the dyes in construction of the Mishkan, or is it from making the dough for the Menachos, right? The former being the view of Rashi Rambam, the latter being the view of Rav Haigon. There is a Yerushalmi in Shabbos, which comes up in a couple of ways when you discuss lush, it's source vav, which says halash v'ha orech v'mekatev chayav mishum lush, that you are liable not only for kneading but also for different ways of forming and shaping the dough. So the Igle Tal on lush sifkat and vav says that this Yerushalmi assumes that lush comes from the dough in the Mishkan, like Rashi, like Rav Haigon. The Rambam and the Smag, on the other hand, omit this Yerushalmi because they think that the Bavli disagrees and the Bavli takes it all from the Samamanim. In truth, I'm not quite clear on this point by the Igle Tal. According to this idea of the Igle Tal, according to him, Rashi Rambam will say it's from the dyes, right? That's where it comes from. The reason why I'm puzzled is because I brought you the Rambam here in Hilchos Shabbos Paraches Halacha Tezayin, who says Halash kigrogeres chayav v'hamegabeles ha'afar harezet told us lush. He says if you're lush, and that's a dough that he's talking about, you're going to be chayav. And if you do dirt, that's already a tolda of the av. It sounds like the av is dough, and all other things are a tolda. And in fact, that's the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains the Rambam in Ches. Haram so paraches kasav that told us lisha hu megabeles ha'afar klomer de ha'av malacha hu lisha bebatzek. So I don't understand. Well, the Rambam believes that it comes from spices. Why is the av butzek?
Maybe because afar is not gidule karka or something.
Maybe because afar is not gidule karka. But shouldn't he at least have said samamanim as an av?
Does he say that for everything else?
I don't know.
I don't think he says samamanim.
Yeah. So then I have a different question, right? A broader question. Why not?
Is the Rambam giving a shear in Zion?
Yes. Correct. He's giving a shear in Zion. It's a normal shear that you give for foods in terms of the minimum amount that's going to be useful for Shabbos is kigrogeris. Yeah.
But if you did less, you would
be lush. It would be a derabban. It would be chatzi shear. Right. Well, I shouldn't even say that because we're going to have to talk about if you do less in the second shear. Okay. I don't think it comes up in the first one. But lush does apply to non-food items, right? We know that from the Gemara in Shabbos, Yirches, that applies it to ink. Rashi in Shabbos, Ayin Dalet, applies it to clay. Question. Why don't we limit lush to gedulei karka? If you limit tochein, grinding, to things that grow from the ground, why don't we do the same thing when it comes to lush? So Rav Moshe Feinstein explained something that I don't really understand, but I quote it because Rav Moshe said it. In Source Tess, He says, the last line, the line I underlined, V'achiluk pashu detochein hu mimalachos hakarka. Ayin bu'ya grasham. V'lisha lo nechsham mimalachos hakarka. I don't actually understand what that sentence meant. I just read it to you.
Because tochein, you have still fibers of fabric that's still recognizable as something that grew.
But that's not what he said. He said, mimalachos karka.
Right, so you're taking something from karka and you're still grinding it up.
You think mimalachos karka is like mimalachos gidule karka?
Yeah.
And lush is not, just because.
Because lush has already moved away from its shape.
Its identity? Maybe. I don't have a better solution. I don't understand what he's saying.
Thinking.
Okay. So the big questions that we're going to encounter are the following. Is lush the act of adding water to the individual entities, or is it the actual mixing? Right? Practical applications. What if I added the liquid before Shabbos? What if no mixing is needed in order to get the desired result? What thickness of a mixture presents a problem of lisha? How thick does it have to be for it to be an issue? When and in what way could an altered form of blending be permitted? And we have all sorts of applications we have to discuss. Instant pudding, cocoa powder, children's cereal, egg salad, jello. Honestly, I don't think snow cones are an issue. You mentioned snow cones a couple of weeks ago. I don't think snow cones are an issue. Okay. So the first big question, is the issue adding water or is the issue mixing? And this is going to force us to handle the Gemaras on this. So in general, important prefaces for this conversation. First of all, really important to know, lisha, lush, is a halachic term. It signifies any act that is prohibited on Shabbos because it creates a dough-like blend of substances. Meaning, don't think of lisha as a term for blending, which may or may not be permitted. It's only a term for the prohibited kind of blending. There's no such thing as lisha hamuteres. Lisha is used to describe the prohibited malacha. That's number one. Number two, in general, gibul refers to the physical act of mixing things with liquid, right? Mixing substances with liquid, whether or not it's prohibited. There could be gibul that is asur, there could be gibul that is mutar. There will be some writers who play with these, but that's the basic principle, is that when we talk about lisha, we mean asur. When we talk about gibul, it might be asur, it might be mutar. Okay, so we have a standing debate between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda. If you know it before you walk into the Gemara, you're on better terms. The debate is, at what point are you liable for lisha with a bar gibul? I'm going to define bar gibul right now as a material that blends into one unit when it's mixed with liquid. We're going to change that definition later. But right now, that's our definition of bar gibul. So the question is, if I have a material which, when I mix it with liquid, it blends into one unit, at what point am I chayav for lisha? So that's a standing debate between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda. And what I did was I pulled out the Braisa from the Gemara in source Yud to show it. Disanya. Echad nosein es hakemach, ve'echad nosein es hamayim. If one person adds flour, the other one adds water, ha'achron chayev divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says the latter is going to be the one who is chayev. The one who added the water is going to be the one who's chayev. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, omreino chayev at shigabel. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda says neither one is chayev. It's only once you do the mixing that you're going to be chayev. So Rebbe says adding the liquid is the problem. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda says mixing is the problem. So far, so good. It's a basic machlokas tanoim. The problem which creates confusion is that I have two apparently conflicting mishnayos which discuss materials that we call lav bar gibul. And again, I'm going to translate lav bar gibul for now as material that does not blend into one unit when mixed with liquid. Right? Bar gibul is material that blends into one unit when mixed with liquid. Lav bar gibul is material that will not blend into one unit when mixed with liquid. Are we clear?
I guess I initially learned bar gibul requires kneading, as opposed to simply dropping some ammonium into
water. Well, it's not just dropping, mixing. You have to do some mixing.
Okay.
So yes, bar gibul in the course of doing the gibul, you will succeed in performing an act of lisha.
Are there no other shitas that say just putting water in the item into water on its own without mixing would be lisha?
I mean, that's Rebbe's view on a bar gibul.
Right. Correct.
But it's, yeah. But a lav bar gibul right now means material that does not blend into one unit, and our two examples that we're going to see here are bran and dye, D-Y-E. So we take a look at the two Mishnayos, which cause all this trouble. I'm going to keep bringing the later Mishnah and the later Gemara before the earlier one, because the later sugya is clearer than the earlier one. So, source Yad Aleph. One, the Mishnah in Shabbos from the 24th Perek, talking about feeding animals and talking about nosnin mayim lamursan, you are allowed to put water into bran, avalo govlin, but you're not allowed to mix together the water with the bran. So if I just take this Mishnah in a vacuum, you're allowed to add water to a non-bar gibul, you're just not allowed to mix it. Then I take a look at a Mishnah from the first parak in Shabbos, in which Beis Shammai says, Ein shorin diyovis amanim v'karshinan ela kadeshi yisharu mibaod yom. Beis Shammai says, I don't want you soaking ink ingredients unless they can soak before Shabbos. And Beis Hillel is matir, Beis Hillel allows. But Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, their debate is a Shvisas Kalim debate. Their debate is the fact that Malacha will be continuing into Shabbos. And Beis Hillel says, I'm okay with that, and Beis Shammai is not okay. But they agree, fundamentally, that the Malacha that's involved is Sharia. The Malacha that's involved is simply the soaking. In other words, adding water to the solid is already a problem. Okay? So my Mishnah in the last parak says adding water to bran is fine. It's mixing that's the malacha. My Mishnah in the first parak says adding water to the ink, the order is reversed. You added ink to the water. But adding water to the ink ingredients is already the problem. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out why it is that I have one Mishnah which says the adding of the water is the problem, and I have another Mishnah that says that the mixing is the problem. Now, I tried to make this clear with the table in order to show the different shitos and the order in which the Gemara is going to go through this. I do believe this helps. You may disagree.
It looks scary.
It looks scary. The Gemara is scarier. So what we'll do is walk through it. But what the Gemara is going to try to do is the first approach in the Gemara is going to be to say the reason why these Mishnayos disagree is because they have two separate authors. Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda. And that's going to be the issue. And Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi or Yehuda have consistent views for a bar gibul and a lav bar gibul. Right? Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi or Yehuda say the same thing, whether it's a bar gibul or a not bar gibul. So if you take a look in the table, you'll see. The Mishnah is presented, right? The Mishnah makes the statement, the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Hei, Kuf Nun Vav, says that that adding water is fine. Gibul is not fine for a lav bar gibul. The Mishnah on Yud Ches says adding water is not allowed. It doesn't say anything about doing the act of mixing, about gibul. So the one I'm listing first, the one on Kuf Nun Hei, the Gemara says, yeah, that's Rabbi Yossi. Because I have a brisa which Rabbi Yossi said regarding flour, that you're allowed to add water, you're just not allowed to mix. And I assume he would say the same thing for a lav bar gibul. And therefore, he's the author of our Mishnah. That's what's going on Kuf Nun Hei. Whereas on Yud Ches, the Gemara does the opposite. It says, this Mishnah says that you're not allowed to add water. Well, Rebbe, regarding flour, said you're not allowed to add water. So presumably, he's the author of the Mishnah regarding ink. He's going to say the same thing, even though that's a lav bar gibul. You follow? That's the way the Gemara tries to introduce this. We want to say the Mishnayos have two separate authors. The reason why you have Machlokas and Mishnayos is because you have Machlokas, Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda. Abaye is going to challenge their application of Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda to lav bar gibul in each case. And he is going to suggest that when it comes to a lav bar gibul, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda will agree with Rebbe. That's essentially what he wants to do. So that if you walk through the table, going down another line, right? In Kuf Nun Hei, Rabba says regarding Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda that just like he said regarding flour that is a bar gibul, adding water is fine, mixing is not okay. He'll say the same thing for a lav bar gibul. Along comes Abaye, and he says, not so fast. Maybe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda actually says what Rebbe said. What Rebbe said when it comes to a lav bar gibel. Maybe he doesn't allow mixing it, not mixing. He doesn't allow adding water if you're dealing with a lav bar gibel. Right? To which the Gemara says, no. We have evidence that this is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's position based on a brisa regarding bran, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is therefore like the Mishnah. That's the way Kufnun Hey Kufnun Vav flows in the table. Taking a look at it in the Gemara, take a look at source Yud Gimel. Amar Abaye Amrisa Kamei Demar Masnisin Mani. Abaye said, I said in front of Rebbe. Generally speaking, Abaye's Rebbe in the situation like this is Rabbah. So I said in front of Rabbah, who is the author of the Mishnah? Va'amrali Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He said it's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, because I have a brisa regarding kemach, regarding flour, in which he says mixing is the issue, and that's just like our Mishnah. To which Abaye says, but maybe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda only said that regarding flour because it's a bar gibel, de bar gibel hu. Ava morsan de la bar gibel hu, afilo Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda modeh. Maybe he would say something different regarding morsan, regarding bran, because it's not a bar gibel. Lo salkadaitach. To which the Gemara concludes, don't think that because I have an explicit brisa regarding a lav bar gibel in which Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, nos dimayim lamorsan, you're allowed to add water to the bran. Clear? That's Kufnun Hey Kufnun Vav. So what's the conclusion of Kufnun Hey Kufnun Vav? What's the upshot? There's no distinction. Right. We don't care about any distinction. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, you are chayav for mixing, not for adding water, and I don't care what kind of material it is. And there is no Isser De'oraisa for adding water, whether it's a bar gibel or a lav bar gibel. And the Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda looks like he's in a position to win this machlokas with Rabbi. Right? That's the way to read Kufnun Hey Kufnun Vav. A couple of follow-up items, though, from this. How do I understand Abaye's proposed distinction between bar gibel and lav bar gibel? When Abaye wants to say, he only says it's for flour, he won't say it for bran, what's the hava mina to say that if it's a lav bar gibel, you should be chayiv when you add water? And why does he end up saying, you're chayiv only for gibel if it's a lav bar gibel? If a lav bar gibel means it doesn't mix, why am I chayiv for mixing? What is it that I've done? So the Rambam rules, yeah. Maybe that's not what it means, correct? So the Rambam, I brought you in Source Yadalid, says, V'ein gibul. There is no such thing as gibul be'efer in ash, v'lo b'chol agas, or coarse sand, v'lo b'mursan, or bran, v'lo b'keyotzeban, or anything like them. There is no such thing as gibul. It doesn't exist. And the Rambam cements that, ha, in Source Tezvav. Sorry. The Megab el chayav mishum lush. Lefichach ein megablin kemach kali harbe shema yava lilosh kemach she'eno kali. He says, megabel, you're liable for lush, and therefore you're not allowed to do it regarding kemach kali harbe, large amounts of this singed or parched grain. He won't let you do it there, but only because lest you come to do it with regular flour. There's no iser in and of itself. It's a gzera. And then in the Morsan, he says, Hamorsan, afopi she'eno ro'oi legibul. Right? You can't, there's no such thing as gibul for it. Ein govlanoso, shema yavo, etc. It's only lest you end up doing it with a bar gibul. So the key point for us is that the Rambam seems to say, lav bar gibul means gibul is not possible. You can try to mix it all you like, it will be ineffective. And that's generally the way people explain this Rambam, and Rabbi Ribiat uses that definition of lav bar gibel. Lav bar gibel means mix it all you like, it's not going to bond. Yeah. It's still against the conclusion that you're assuming, right? Rambam is assuming something's not bar gibel, you can't do lisha. Right, so that's what we have to figure out, is then what is the sugya you're talking about. Yeah. If a non-bar gibel doesn't blend at all, well, let's start this way. If a non-bar gibel doesn't blend at all, why did Abaye think that Rabbi Yossi or Yehuda would say you're liable for adding water? And why does Rebbe, in fact, say that you're liable for adding water? So I thought the answer might be like a comment that Tosfos on Daf Yud Ches makes regarding Morsan, where he says that even within the category of non-bar gibel, there is an impact. It's just not as strong as in a bar gibel case. There's a spectrum. And lav bar gibel doesn't mean no gibel ever happens, although that is what the Rambam sounds
that
like.
Not, the Rambam is not assuming that. The Rambam is assuming if something's not bar gibel, you can't do Yisha at all. It's not possible.
Right. And that's going to be the Rambam Shita. But in terms of the Shita going on in the Gemara, that's what will that's what they would that's what they would have to say. The Rambam is of the opinion that no, there is no Isur D'oraisa. Right. The but that's one way to take bar gibel and lav bar gibel. Bar gibel means mix it up, it'll bond. Lav bar gibel means mix it up and it won't bond, or it will bond in an inferior way, inferiorally. Right? It won't bond as well. The Ravid has a different take. The Ravid, the Meiri, the Sfas Emes have a different view of what lav bar gibel is. Sorry?
Yeah,
that we don't do gibel is the way that they read it. The Meiri is source Tezayin. He says, Le'inyan Shriyas Dyo, as far as soaking ink ingredients, Yesh Mefarshim Shishneim Sovim Shenesinas Mayim L'Dyo, He Shriyas So, Ve'ein Sorech L'Gibol Acher, or in Sarich, there's no vowel, you can do it either way. But he says, some explain that what it means is, adding the ink, that's what you do, or adding the water, that's what you do. There is no need to do any Gibol afterwards. That's the Meiri, and the Sfas Emes is even more clear when he says, in Source Yedzayin, Vehine la abaye vadai nirakein. Kevin de machalek bain midi de bar gibel. Mashma de svirale de benesinas mayim greda have a lush. Adding the water alone counts already as lush. Ella de ben midi de bar gibel potter beli gibel. Dahavi kmo osa hamalacha shalokidarech. He says, if it's a bar gibel, even if adding the water mixes it, nonetheless, you haven't done it the way it's normally done. That's not the derech for the malacha. So therefore, Abaye's havamina was that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda would say that if it's a material people don't normally mix, you're chayav just for adding water.
Which is what Yudches and Alf seems to say.
Well, we're not at Yudches yet. Okay. Hang on. We dial it to Rabbi Shaita. And the Gemara's answer is that even if people don't normally mix it, you're not chayav for adding water, only for mixing it. This is going to matter when we get to Psak, because we're going to talk about materials that don't melt together, but which we don't normally need to stir in order to get them to... I'm sorry, materials which do melt together, but which don't require stirring in order to achieve that state.
You can or can't add water.
Well, I'm not talking about what you're allowed to halachically. I'm just describing a material. There is a material which does melt together and does not require stirring. Instant mashed potatoes, where according to the web, I looked up different instructions online for how do you make instant mashed potatoes. They are feeling slightly less foolish than all the people who are actually writing this question on forums. How do you make instant mashed potatoes? And all the instructions are fine. So you do a little light stirring just to expose the powder to the water. The web says you don't need to stir instant mashed potatoes. They will do it on their own. You just have to add water. So the question is going to be, as far as the definition of the Rambam for lav bar gibel, this is not a lot. This is a bar gibel. They do mix together. They do bond. However, according to the Ravid's definition, Ravid Meiri Sfas Emes, this is a lav bar gibel because people don't normally mix it. You follow? That's an example of a nafka mina. So we'll have to talk about that. That's one interesting note regarding this distinction of bar gibel, lav bar gibel. The other one comes from the Igle Tal. The Igle Tal in Lush, Sivkatan Beis, says that when Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino chayev ad shiagabel, you're only liable when you do the mixing of it, instead of saying, Eino chayev ela hamagabel, that shows that he believes that it's actually a liability for having performed both actions, not for having performed the second action. Meaning, if you added water before Shabbos, then you're not going to be chayev even if you do gibel on Shabbos. That's it. You saw this in preparing? It's a very interesting way to look at it. I gave you a one-liner where he really defines it well in Yudches. He has a longer discussion, of course, but this one line is really all you need to hear. He says, "Lefi ma she'echtav lekaman sivkan test in esinas hamayim osa harkavas mayim va'akemach." Adding water is what creates the joining of the water and the flour. The gibel hu lehechashev guf echad. Gibel is simply what makes it one entity. Im ken yesh lomar shedoma la'akira v'hanacha de'eino chayev rak al shnehem. Just like in transporting an item, you're only chayev if you do akira and hanacha. if the item is in the air and you put it down, but it was in the air from before Shabbos, or you pulled it out of someone's, you know, well, leave aside questions of hands. That's outside the discussion. But the point is that if all I do is the Hanacha, or all I do is the Akira, I haven't violated the Issur D'Oraisa. So too argues Zeig Leital that within this, within Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, when he says, Eino Chayav Ad Sheyegabel, instead of saying, Eino Chayav Ela HaMegabel, that means you're only liable if you do both of these. And he says, I can prove it to you. We're going to see exemptions. We're going to see Pturim where the liquid was added on Friday. Why? Because that means that the first of the two malachos happened before Shabbos. We're going to talk about doing a shinui in the order of adding the liquid and the solid, right? Even within the view that the ki malacha is gibul. So well, who cares about the shinui in the order in which I added the liquid? The answer is because I didn't do the first. Now, not everybody agrees with this idea. The Chazon Ish certainly does not agree with this idea. But it's an interesting idea. Nonetheless, but a relevant question that comes up within this view of things. We're going to conclude that you're liable for adding water on Shabbos to a bar gibul, right? So here's my question. Within the Zeig Leital's idea, what if the liquid was added before Shabbos? And now I'm going to mix it on Shabbos. Tachlis, right? You added the liquid before Shabbos. It's a bar gibul, which means I'm chayev when I add, when I mix. So am I chayev at all in that case? Right? Am I chayev? So it sounds like I shouldn't be, based on this logic. But the Rishalmi that we saw before said, Lush, Orech, Mekatef, and all that, they're all chayev for Lush, even though these latter malachas are after Lisha.
What about the Bresa from the Gemara? That just made it to mind that the Tefa made it to Tema?
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yosef Reuven, that nobody is chayev until you have speech, ma, or name of
Gemara. The mixing, right.
And it sounds like there even somebody else.
Even if somebody else did it. Right. So it's a big problem. I don't understand it. Rabbi Willard comes up in one of his Shiurim on Lush. He has a justification in his first Shiurim on Lush. He has a justification to make all of this work for the Zeig Leital. But I don't think that we actually follow the Zeig Leital. I just thought it was a really interesting formulation to look at. Okay. So Kuf Nun Hei Kuf Nun Vav actually ended with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds your Chaya for mixing, regardless of the kind of material. And the Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Everything would be neat and clean, except that you have this Gemara on Daf Yud Ches that just throws everything out of whack. So that's what we're going to have to wrestle with in order to get anywhere. So I'm trying to figure out why I brought in that that Bir Halacha, and I'm not sure why I brought it in, but I don't need it right now. Sorry? Yeah, I'm not sure why I have you test there, but it's just distracting me right now. I know why. It was part of Rabbi Willig's justification for it. I'm not going into it right now. Okay. So the less clear issue is back on Shabbos Daf Yud Ches. If you can go back up to the table, just to, you know, that was in Yud Beis. The Mishnah says, in this case, it's a lav bar gibul, it's ink, that adding water is the problem, right? We want to say that that's like Rebbe, because Rebbe, regarding flour, says adding water is the problem. So Rav Yosef comes along and says, just like it's a problem for a bar gibul, so too it's a problem for a lav bar gibul, and therefore Rebbe is the author of the Mishnah. And here, Abaye does the opposite of what he did before. Well, it's not the opposite, it's the same thing, but he's flipping what he's doing to his Rebbe, in this case to Rav Yosef. And Abaye says, wait a minute, it could be Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Because even though regarding flour, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said that adding the water is okay, maybe for a lav bar gibul, he will say it's not okay. It's the same question that he asked on Kuf Nun Hei Kuf Nun Vav. Except that whereas in Kuf Nun Hei Kuf Nun Vav, he was arguing Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is not the Mishnah. Here he's arguing Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is the Mishnah. And then the Gemara's conclusion is entirely unclear. I just left question marks there. Walk through it in the Gemara, in Source Chaf. After bringing the Mishnah about the ink, the Gemara asks, Mantan and Nesinas Mayim Ladiyo Zoi Shriyas. And who is it who says that adding the water, that's the act of Shriya? Amar Yosef Rebbe he. That's Rebbe because of what Rebbe said in the case of Kemach, in the case of flour, in that Brisa. Amar le Abaye, to which Abaye says, "V'dilma akan lo kamar Rabbi Yosi ala bekenach de bargibulhu." Maybe that's only because it was flour. Avol diyo de la bargibulhu emel chayiv, but you would be chayiv in the case of diyo, like the stam mishnah. Lo sakadai, don't think that. Disanya echad nosin es ha'aver v'echad nosin es hamayim ha'achron chayiv divrei Rabbi. When you're dealing with ash, which is a lav bargibul, Rebbe says that the one who adds the water is chayev, and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda says no, only if you mix it. So he holds that mixing is the thing. To which the Gemara says, "V'dilma my afer afar de bar gibel." Well, maybe it didn't. Afer was a mistake. It should be afar. Maybe it's afar, which is a bar gibel, and therefore you can't prove anything from that brisa. No, Vatanya afer. I have my brisa says afer. Yeah, but Vatanya afar. I have another brisa that says afar. Yeah, but midi gabe adadi tanya, are they together? And I don't know what that means. I don't know what their conclusion is. I don't know what the Gemara has decided. And nobody does. As the Magid Mishnah says in Chaf Aleph, Vasvari shonai sadas abayi bepirka kama v'sham lo helu bidchiyasa. Leave aside the first half of his statement, the key is the end, where he says, you don't have a clear rejection of Abaye's position on Daf Yud Ches. We don't know in the end. We don't know Rebbe's view. We don't know Rabbi Yosi or Yehuda's view regarding adding water to a lav bar gibul. We don't know who the Stam Mishnah follows. Adam?
Is it really such a problem? Either they rejected that view, in which case the question is still up in the air. Maybe not the water.
Right. Right. Right, and the problem is that we have to paskin, and I don't know who my Stam Mishnayos follow. I don't know. Yeah. So the question is, how does this debate end? And in fact, it's a machlokes. So the Meiri, which I brought you on the sheet, and it's the Meiri is in source Chav Beis. Along with him, you have Tosos and the Ravid. They say we follow Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda from Kufnun Hey Kufnun Vav. And as far as the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Yud Ches that you're liable for adding water to a lav bar gibul, that could be consistent with Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda as well. That's their position. V'hu shepaskim gedolei aposkim k'Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, that the problem is mixing. Shehu amda mishnasenu shelo kimo so umikom, that our Mishnah on Yud Ches is not like him. Umikomakom afle dazen esina samayim asura. You're still not allowed to add water. Don't add water, but it's not a del raisa. Fine. So he says, we're going to follow Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. That's the way that the Meiri says. That's Tosus and the Raivad. While the Bir Halacha says, no. The conclusion of Kufnun Hey, Kufnun Vav is against Abaye. And the Stam Mishnah that you're liable for adding water is only like Rebbe. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda does not say you're chayav for adding water to a lav bar gibul. Let's read it inside. I think I just confused everybody, including myself. Chav Gimel. He says, "Be'inyan esinas mayim lemursan pligi bazeh Rebbe, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda." They have machlokas about adding water to brand. That's lav bar gibul. Rebbe machmir. Rebbe is strict. Ulididei yeshchiv chatos bazeh despirule esinas mayim zeu gibulo. He holds that's the del raisa, adding the liquid. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda make a lechatchila, and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be makel. He says you're not liable for adding water to a lav bar gibul. But he says kufnun hey kufnun vav ended up against Abaye, and the Stam Mishnah is that you are chayav for adding water is going to follow Rebbe, and therefore I'm inclined to follow that. So that's not in terms of the psak overall. That's in terms of trying to figure out what happened in Yud Ches. So the result of the unclear identification of the Stam Mishnah on Yud Ches impacts how we apply the conclusion that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, back on Kufnun Vav. How do I apply Kufnun Vav if I don't know what happened on Yud Ches? Yes. No, the conclusion of Kufnun Vav is clear. The question is, how do I apply it given that I don't know what happened on Yud Ches? Kufnun Vav is for sure Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Correct. So the Rif, the Rosh, and I believe the Rambam as well, take the position that we follow Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. You're chayav for mixing a bar gibul, you're chayav for mixing a lav bar gibul, just like kuf nun hey kuf nun vav. Adding water to a bar gibul is going to be a derabanan. that's the way that they read it. And that's one approach. The Igle Tal explains that this actually fits with Tosfos, the Raiva, the Meiri, that Yud Ches does not have a clear conclusion. So therefore, the Stam Mishnah on Yud Ches could also follow Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, it makes sense for me to follow Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda in general.
Not without rejecting Sugya and Kuf Kuf
Vav. What do you mean? Right. In other words, you can't simultaneously support both. Right. If the Mishnah on Yud Ches is going to be like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, hang on. If the Mishnah on Yud Ches is going to be like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that means that we are saying that that adding water is usur. You can't simultaneously hold both regarding a lav bar gibel. That's the option. Right. No, that's true. But since I now can show that I have the option of either one, and one is clearly supporting him, that's going to be good enough. Now, the truth is that the Be'er Halacha threads that needle, right? The Be'er Halacha, which I brought you on the sheet, in Chaf Dalid, actually says the truth is that you can support this idea. He says you could think, and he thinks actually, that the Stam on Yud Ches follows Rebbe. And the one on Kuf Nun Vav follows Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And I have two Stamim in a Masechta, I follow the later Stam. That's his position. The Sefer HaTruma, the Smag, the Urim, and the Trumas Hadeshen disagree. They say, we follow, at this point I'm abandoning reading what I have on the sheet even. I'm just going to, tell it to you outside because it's already 11:48. We follow Rebbe that you're chayav for adding water to both kinds of materials. Bar gibel, la bar gibel doesn't make a difference. And the Igle Tal explains how they come to this conclusion. Yud Ches concludes against Abaye, and therefore the Stam there is like Rebbe. If so, then when he drafted the Stam on Kuf Nun Hei like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't prove anything because it was against his own view. Rebbe's personal view is Yud Ches, and don't be bothered by the one on Kuf Nun Hei that supports Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, because that was just saying, yeah, within Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda there's this, but I don't actually agree. That's the way the Igle Tal explains that. I don't really understand that. And the Be'er Halacha has a whole different view. But the result is that I have two debates running. Number one, does non-bar gibel mean we don't normally mix this, but it is technically mixable, like the Ravid? Or does it mean mixing is ineffective, and therefore there should be no biblical liability for mixing it, like the Rambam? Right? That's one question. Separate question, do I follow Rebbe or Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda regarding liability for adding water? Right? Those are my two questions. And that, as explained by the Be'er Halacha, is what the Shulchan Aruch is trying to address. And the Shulchan Aruch prohibits adding water and mixing a bar gibel. It prohibits mixing a non-bar gibel. And it notes that some prohibit adding water to a non-bar gibel. Right? If you imagine the Punnett square here, right? If it's a bar gibel, we don't want you adding water and we don't want you mixing. If it's a non-bar gibel, we don't want you mixing it, and some say we don't want you adding water either. The two direct piskei halacha that appear in the Shulchan Aruch are regarding non-bar gibel, right? Source Chav Zayin, he's dealing with kemach kali, this parched grain, which is a non-bar gibel, and he says we don't want you being megabel, right? We don't want you doing that. And ein megablin means, as I added in the parentheses, adding the water. I think that's not in the Shulchan. That is in the Shulchan Aruch there. You're not allowed to add water because it's lest you come to doing this with a bar gibel. So adding water is only a problem lest you add water with a bar gibel. And then in Chafches, Yesh Omrim, that the fact that you're allowed to mix liquid into the mustard is where it was done before Shabbos, but on Shabbos you would not be allowed to add water to this lav bar gibol in and of itself. That's the idea. And the Bir Halacha explains that the Shulchan Aruch primarily follows the Rambam, and that's the origin of his position. Other late achronim on the Shulchan Aruch are split regarding adding water to a non-bar gibol. The Kaf HaChaim quotes many achronim who prohibit, but he says since the Mechaber was lenient first, stam, and then he added a yesh osrim, that means that you should be strict l'chatchila if it's not going to cause trouble, but don't worry about it. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, people do add water. A Yirei Elokim won't do so. This is about a non-bar gibol. Rabbi Ribiat thinks that everybody prohibits it at least rabbinically, but then he quotes the Magen Avraham, and I didn't see the Magen Avraham there, so I'm not sure what he was saying. And then there's a Chazon Ish to see as well. But in practice, what emerges from all of this is, don't mix either type of item with liquid. Don't add water to a bar gibol. You might be able to add water to a non-bar gibol, but the Aruch HaShulchan thinks you shouldn't do it. Rabbi Ribiat thinks you shouldn't do it. That's the upshot of all of this. I'm not going to ask you, is that clear? Because I think I know the answer to this question. It took me a long time even to get that table together on the Gemara, which I think now I understand, but I don't blame you if it's not as clear. So now let's go back to the question that I asked before. What if no mixing is needed in order to make your dough, right? Is adding the liquid prohibited? The instant mashed potatoes, instant pudding. Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? So Rav Moshe says, nope. Rav Moshe says, usser. In Source Lamed Aleph, he says, tshuva, avka nemeisa shel tapuchei adama asur bechol ofen. Vavka nemeisa shel pudding beblila raka mutter. Blila raka is a separate discussion. If you change the order, you do a shinui. Blila ava, again, usser bechol ofen. He doesn't like it. The reason why he distinguishes between the pudding and the mashed potatoes is I think the instant mashed potatoes don't have a blila raka version. There's no such thing. It's always going to be blila ava. Whereas with the pudding, it depends on how much liquid you add.
They're both
lav bar gibol. In the sense that gibol isn't needed. It's going to happen on its own. The Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa quotes the Shulchan Aruch regarding adding water to seeds, which will join together, and also says it's prohibited. That's in Lamed Beis. They join with each other. Why is it prohibited? So presumably this is because you have two different approaches, right? Either it's because we take the Rambam's definition of bar gibol, and therefore this material melts together, and it's a bar gibol, and therefore you're chaya for adding water, right? Or, according to Aruch HaShabbos in Vav, page 226, it's because of the Gemara in Zvachim that says that you're liable for adding water to flaxseed because it bonds naturally. So he says this is the act of lisha for such materials. But I think you could also make the argument that according to the Ravitz Fasemes, it's a lav bar gibol, and Shulchan Aruch would not prohibit adding water, but achronim are choshesh. This could be a case of adding water to a lav bar gibol. Sorry? Right. Oh, so his definition of bar gibol would also have to hold like the Rambam, you think? I hear.
So how does this apply to instant coffee then?
Instant coffee, it doesn't.
It's a liquid.
Instant coffee dissolves.
Right.
So since it dissolves, this isn't going to be... We haven't said that explicitly yet, but we're going to. Dissolving things are fine. We're going to get there shortly.
It's a liquid mixture you're making, sort of.
Sorry?
You're mixing the water and the instant coffee. If you mix a liquid mixture...
But you don't make... Right, as long as you don't make a dough, you're okay.
What about samanum?
I'm getting there. I mean, so the samanum apparently did bond together. Otherwise, this wouldn't have been a conversation. Some of them do bond together. They
children, what means bond together to what? To water.
They clump. They clump and hold together. Even though your desired result, no, what you're trying to do is to dye the water.
Shorman, you put it in and then the color,
it means you soak it.
Right.
Yeah.
And the color mixes with the rest of the
correct
liquid.
Right. But clearly there has to be some kind of clumping of the ingredients, the dye ingredients that you added. Because otherwise, what would be my yisur? That's what I'm saying. Dissolving something, we're going to see it explicitly when we talk about dough. We're not going to get to it today. But it's very, very clear that making anytime it dissolves, the hot cocoa, the coffee, whatever it is, it's not a lisha problem. You may have bishul issues. That's a whole other discussion.
Sabay is not for Oakland.
And Sabay is not for Oakland, correct. So the upshot of what we've said today, after all is said and done, is we gave a basic working definition of what lisha is, right? That was the first few minutes. And we have some sense of what the problem is in the Gemara, the clarity of Kuf Nun Hei, the lack of clarity of Yud Ches, and the different ways to take Bar Gibel and Lav Bar Gibel along the way. That's what I tried to torment you with for the last 45 minutes. But the upshot, at least to get one lemaisa thing, is that you're not allowed to do the instant pudding, you're not allowed to do the instant mashed potatoes. Instant pudding may have a kula with shinoi, which we're going to talk about next time. What I want to do next Tuesday is talk about what defines a dough, what exactly is dough, and that's where we're going to get into the liquid issue. And then the issue of shinoi, what kind of a shinoi is effective, under what circumstances, and I don't know if even that's going to fit in an hour, but what we may do is do an hour then, and then I'll just record the rest. That may be what we have to do. Shkoyach. What are they talking about?